I find that I'm passionately
leaving.
Hello, everyone. Today I want to talk about the populist playbook and why I'm against it, why I don't support people like Nigel Farage, why I've soured on the likes of Trump, and why I think basically spending your time and energy getting behind characters like this is a waste of time. Soon, I'm going to make a follow-up video talking about something called stepping stone theory. This is the idea that figures like Trump and Farage are a stepping stone to a genuine hard right government, for example, or something like fascism. This is something that is believed both by idiotic leftists and by idiotic rightists who advance this idea again and again. Well, I'm going to save that for another video because today I want to focus on specifically the populist playbook and why I think basically it's a time sink that will never ever lead to real or lasting change, structural change, or basically getting anything that you want other than a dopamine hit. Before I get there, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. There is currently a sale going on. It's my autumn sale or fall sale. Promo code Shredder. And when I come back, I'm going to hit 10 points on the populist playbook. It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now. All right, so I made these points on Twitter about 2 weeks ago now, and I thought it was worth doing a whole video on this. I have made previous videos. I've got one called Slopulism, which I recommend checking out. I've got a much older video on tactical bigotry. These are all kind of little tricks that the system uses to draw you back in. And today I'm going to focus more on exactly what it is a figure like Nigel Farage and indeed Donald Trump in America and various other figures do in order to, almost like vampires, suck on your anger and your energy in order basically to contain that on behalf of the very system that you hate. So let's have a look at these 10 points. So point number one, if you'll excuse me, I've got my phone here, so I have to check the points. That's why I'm looking down. Absorb dissident frustration by directing it towards mainstream electoral channels such as rallies and voting. There's been an awful lot of rallies and an awful lot of excitement around Reform UK, flags and all the rest of it, all of which I've been vocally sceptical about since it all started. And why? Because basically it's getting you to buy back in to the lies of the Liberal Democratic regime, essentially. Okay. Second, they use inflammatory language to tap into public anger over issues like immigration, but they then always focus all of their energy and they put it into policy tweaks rather than genuine radical change. It's obvious to basically anyone who studied the current system that there needs to be root and branch change. There needs to be clear outs in many different areas if we're ever going to get away from globalist neoliberal policy, right? All of these things Trump was harping on about at the UN the other day. And yet, when you actually look into what does it actually translate into, it's basically policy tweaks around the edges. And I guess one of the big questions that the system is being asked at the moment is whether capital R or even little r reform is possible, or is it a USSR-style scenario where any attempt at reform leads to collapse a la Mikhail Gorbachev? Next, they co-opt anti-immigrant sentiment, but they dilute it to operate within democratic norms in order to protect the political establishment. If you notice, Nigel Farage has consistently kind of gate-kept out any kind of people who are very hardcore on anti-immigration, and then he has slowly adopted some of their language and their rhetoric at a time and place of his choosing. So he lets them do the legwork outside, and then he kind of picks and chooses when exactly he mainstreams those ideas in a kind of safe, gate-kept environment. Kind of a snaky little strategy, because he lets other people kind of take the hits, and then when the legwork is done, he's like, oh yeah, the conversation's moved. So yeah, that's one of the things Farage has always done across a range of issues. And they also twist the message. One of the things that irritates me about the Tommy Robinsons of this world is that they want to say, well, actually, the only problem, for example, is Islamic immigration, as if all the other immigration is fine, and really the only problem is Islam in the UK or something like that. That is a misdirection and a kind of channeling of the anger to a specific end. What is that end? Well, basically, it's convenient for some of these people, especially if you're funded by a man called Shilman, for his enemies to be your enemies too, you know, and the enemies of a little state in the Middle East there. And frankly, after a decade, two decades of this sort of politics, I'm fed up of it. That's why I won't have any, you know, one of the many reasons why I increasingly say I'm on the centre-left on many of these issues. Of course, as I've said in other videos, being on the centre-left does not mean you're pro-immigration. You know, it's a blue Labour position, for example, to be against mass immigration. So this, the immigration, not necessarily a left-right issue, as I've talked about. I would say channeling it into specifically anti-Islamic rhetoric is a bit of a dirty move, as if to say, well, okay, replace all the Muslim immigrants with Indian immigrants, right? And that doesn't solve the problem. If you're against immigration, it's not specifically about Islam. It's about lots of people coming from other countries, especially non-European countries like India, as an example. And of course, Indians don't even like Muslims, as people know. So, you know, this dilution of the message, I also think, is an issue, especially when it's being done for dishonest ends. Next, they channel anger into personal loyalty and vague reforms, not into sort of revolutionary or radical action that is actually needed. You know, the time is late, the situation is dire, and like I said, it needs root and branch, like pretty radical change, if there's going to be any solution to this sort of issue. And of course, these sorts of figures, they want to tweak around the edges. They focus on, as well, symbolic gestures over substantive change, and they always steer the conversation to things that are symbolic. Recently, for example, Farage was talking about migrants eating swans. Obviously, that's kind of a motive issue for people who are into the royal family and so on. Swans are protected. So, you know, I get it. It's a way of cutting through. But also now we're focusing on swans as opposed to, you know, the root issue. Trump also loves to shunt things back to culture war. And again, the real issue then gets sidelined for ersatz issues. For example, the recent attack on Sadiq Khan. Right, anybody who's watched this channel knows I am not a fan of Sadiq Khan, okay? One of the worst mayors London has ever had, okay? But he attacked Sadiq Khan for wanting to set up Sharia law, right, in London. This is just not true. Sadiq Khan, okay, he's from a Muslim background, he's a Pakistani, right, and he's got a history of defending, like, Muslim Brotherhood when he was a lawyer and things like that. But this does not actually mean he's trying to establish Sharia law in London. Sadiq Khan is a neoliberal globalist, diversity is our strength, wave the pride flag type. Okay? And the problem with London is not that it's falling to Sharia Islam. The problem with London is that it is a symbol of everything wrong with multicultural neo-globalism as driven by ribald venture capitalism, right? That is basically the issue with London, that it doesn't have enough capital controls, that it, you know, it's geared towards this globalist vision of the world. And this is the issue with Sadiq Khan, ultimately. So it diverts the issue from the actual problem to an ersatz problem by saying, well, it's all about Sharia law. It also gives the British system and the British left an automatic win because they can just say, well, this is just an absurd attack. It's not true. Next issue. They build a cult of personality and sap dissident anger by tying it all to their individual brand. Now, if you are against immigration, for example, well, you're a Farageist or you're a Trumpian or whatever, and now your anger and your energy and your genuine desire to make a change here has been co-opted by their personal brand. But you're not in charge of that personal brand. So as their needs, as their wants, as their donors' wants, chop and change with the winds as they have, now you have to be swept along with it. And you then are in a position to have to justify it all as well. I mean, what's the point? Unless they're going to pay you big money to do that, and those people do exist, by the way, here on YouTube, why are you giving that to them for free? In fact, why are you giving it to them at all? Unless you truly, well and truly believe in the cause of Nigel Farage's career or Donald Trump's bank account. Right? And unless you're an actual true believer that these people are genuinely who they are, genuinely what they say they are, right? And they've got the will of the nation. They've got their, you know, they're real patriots who really want to make change. Okay? But also, I've got a bridge to sell you. Also, I've got some sand to sell you, you know? Next, they provoke backlash, which then strengthens the norm. Okay, by having all of this energy behind them, then everything that they become a center of gravity around which, I mean, this is happening in the UK at the moment. Ed Davey, the Lib Dem leader, is stepping on all the old Hillary Clinton rakes. You know, the basket of deplorables, the threat to democracy. They're running the same script again, right? Which in a weird way, builds Farage's strength. And it also, it actually strengthens the norm of, well, this is the game. This whole rhetorical circus, politics as a circus, is actually the game. So it draws you in more. Next, they focus on divisive but non-revolutionary issues, such as culture wars. I think I've covered that one already in the process of covering some of the other points. You know, so now, you got into this because you wanted to, let's say, reduce the huge numbers of people coming to the country over successive years and decades. And all of a sudden now, you're fighting about rainbow flags, trans rights, you know, whether people should be burning Elon Musk's cars and whatever else, right? A whole bunch of other bullshit has now crept in, and now you're fighting about that rather than about the one issue at hand. Next, they integrate with the establishment. This is the iron law of oligarchy, by the way, to absorb dissident energy by blending it with the mainstream. Trump basically has done this with the GOP. Trump and the GOP establishment are basically hand in glove at this point, especially the hard Zionist part of that. And, you know, I've written essays on my own Substack, for Chronicles magazine, in Islander magazine, If you want more, I've made videos on this topic, on Trump and how Trump basically has become the swamp with Trumpian characteristics. The iron law of oligarchy has happened. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out that the media have been setting up for Prime Minister Farage for about 2 years now. You know, the year since Starmer got in, the British media has been basically preparing for Prime Minister Farage. They're at peace with it. Reform UK is a regime outfit. It is already being co-opted by the iron law of oligarchy. And anybody with half a brain cell can see that. And yet still, he makes an announcement and still people get excited and still people go to the circus. Finally, they exploit anger without delivering change. Donald Trump still issues the symbolic executive orders, which is not backed up by actual change at the level of Congress, at the level of legislation, at the level of actually sorting something out. Unless it's for Israel, of course, unless it's something to do with anti-Semitism speech or whatever, then the wheels turn fast. Then all the change comes. Every I is dotted. Every T is crossed. But if it's something that actually appeals to his base, it'll be a fudge. It'll be symbolic. It'll be defeated in court. A judge will strike it down. It won't be done properly. Because it is stuff to sell to the rubes. It's a work for the marks. And if you don't get that by now, you haven't been paying attention. You think Farage is going to be different? He's not. Populism is a con. It's an absolute con. And there is a lot of money, a lot of left-wing articles in the New Statesman and The Guardian and The Observer have exposed the huge amounts of Zionist billionaire money going into populist networks, money behind Trump, money behind Maloney in Italy, money behind Farage. Now, various different states have recognised Palestine. Maloney won't do it. Trump won't do it. Farage has said he would reverse it. So actually, your politics, your nationalism, your cause, which was reducing immigration or whatever else, getting your country back, has been co-opted, actually, for this little state in the Middle East for some other purpose. It's now like they have made it now about Israel Palestine. Oh, but I don't care about it. That doesn't matter what you care about. That is what they care about. That's what they pay money for. And they're wearing parties that should be for you as a skin suit to further their own end. But of course, you don't get that. That's why you still fall for it and step on every rake. All right, that's enough of that. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, promo code SHREDDER. Hopefully I have shredded enough of this nonsense today as well. And tomorrow I'm going to follow up on a related video, as I said, on why the stepping stone theory, why the notion that a figure like Nigel Farage is a stepping stone to an actual harder right-wing government or a fascist government or something like that, a delusion of both the left and the right, by the way, has no historical precedent whatsoever. And even if you try to start making those precedents, like, for example, to Nazi Germany, right, would be the one in everybody's head, I will show, step by step, how it is basically not possible and why those analogies are stupid. Why they're stupid, okay? That'll be for next time. Pick up a course, like I said, and I'll see you soon. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now.
But most importantly of all, friends, get out.